Thank you for joining us in the shiur in Project Likut HaSichus. Today's shiur is going to be Chelek Tes Zayin, the first sicha on Parshas Yisrael. It's quite a long sicha, so we'll try to cover all the details. We'll definitely make an effort to cover the main gist of what the Rebbe explains and try to get as many details as possible in as well. And please bear with us. It's going to be a long one today. This sicha revolves around the opening pasuk of the parsha. The opening pasuk begins, Vayishma Yisroi, if you have a chumash in front of you, it's helpful, at least to see the words of the pasuk and Rashi inside. Vayishma Yisroi, Koyin Midyan, Choysin Moshe, Yisroi, who was Koyin Midyan, the minister, or the Tsar of Midyan, the Koyin of Midyan, who was Moshe's father-in-law, he heard everything that Hashem did for the Jewish people on their way out of Egypt. Comes the Medrash, and the Medrash says, Mashmu Shoma Abo, what did Yisroi hear that caused him to come? What did Yisrael hear? The Medrash gives us three answers here. Answer number one, he heard the battle with Amalek. Milchemes Amalek. The battle with Amalek that we read in the end of Parshas B'Shalach. The second answer is, he heard about the Torah, which we're going to read soon in Parshas Yisrael. A third answer is, he heard the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, which also was in Parshas B'Shalach, the splitting of the sea. Now, all three of these answers are somewhat questionable with one question. The question is, if you open the pasuk itself says, the verse says, Vayishma Yisroi Koyin Midyan, the Yisroi heard everything that Hashem did. So what kind of question is it when you say, what did Yisroi hear that caused him to come? The pasuk itself continues and says, he heard everything. So what's this question, what did Yisroi hear? On the opposite end, once the Medrash gives us an answer, one of these three answers, either Amalek, the giving of the Torah, or Kriyas Yamsuf, the question becomes the other way around. The pasuk says that he heard everything. And over here, the Medrash is giving us a specific thing that Yisroi heard. Which one did Yisroi hear? Did he hear a specific thing? Or did he hear everything? The pasuk seems to say that he heard everything. And the Medrash says that he only heard one of these three things. Again, either the story with Amalek, giving of the Torah, or Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the first question. Question number two, when we look at Rashi, Rashi quotes the same Medrash. Rashi says, Mashmu Shama Uba, what did Yisroi hear that caused him to come? And Rashi tells us two out of the three things. He says he heard the story of the battle with Amalek and Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Why doesn't Rashi only pick one of the answers of the Medrash? Why does Rashi pick two of the answers from the Medrash and put them together as though it's one answer? The Medrash says them as three separate opinions, not as an opinion that combines two together. That's question number two. Obviously, what the Medrash tells us, and what Rashi tells us with his question and with his answer, what this tells us is that when we look at the pasuk, there's a question that we have that the pasuk itself doesn't address. In other words, when we read the pasuk that says that Yisroi heard everything that Hashem did, okay, I hear what Yisroi heard. I hear that Hashem did everything. But we still have a question. And that question is not answered by the words of the pasuk. And that would be the question of what the Medrash says and the question that Rashi has. And we need to understand, what else did Yisroi hear? Obviously, we need to understand, what else does Yisroi need to hear? So we need to understand what exactly this means. What exactly does Yisroi need to hear in order for us to understand what's going on better? A third question the Rebbe asks here is, the name Yisroi is a name that was given to Yisroi after he was Megayer. The Gemara says that Yisroi had seven names. Originally his name was Yeser, and then Yisroi got an additional letter, the Vav, Yisroi, the Vav at the end of his name, when he came to convert. The question is that this parasha by Yishma Yisroi seems to be before Yisroi converted. And if it's before Yisroi converted, why does the Torah already call him by the name of Yisroi if Yisroi had not yet undergone the process of gear? So these are the questions that we need to understanding what exactly is behind this story of Yisroi coming to join the Jews in the desert. Now, in order to understand this, the Rebbe first introduces something from the Rambam. There's something from the Rambam in his introduction to the Mishnayos. The Rambam, in addition to his Sefer Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah, the Sefer Halachos of the Rambam also wrote an interpretation to the Mishnah, Pirush HaMishnayos La Rambam, and that Pirush HaMishnayos has an introduction. There's an introduction of the Rambam to his interpretation to the Mishnah. And there, the Rambam quotes, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam quotes the statement that the Gemara tells us, that from the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hashem only has in this world Dalid Amos Shel Halacha. From the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hashem only has in this world the four cubits of Halacha. That's what the Gemara says. And the Rambam questions it by saying that seemingly, it seems very distant from the truth to so many other parts Hashem should have so much else that Hashem should have in this world. In other words, it seems as though outside of halacha, Hashem doesn't have anything. Everything else is nothing. The question is why? Why does Hashem have nothing outside of halacha? And the Rambam there goes on to explain that the entire purpose of a person, the entire purpose of the world is for a person, and the entire purpose of the person is to reach the ultimate of chachma and maisa. Chachma means wisdom, and maisa means actions. And the Rambam goes on to explain what's the ultimate in chachma. He says the ultimate in chachma is not understanding simple science or anything like that, or even understanding matters of Torah. The ultimate in chachma is chachma elikis, for a person to be able to grasp in his mind the unity of Hashem. In other words, all the explanations about Hashem that Hasidus come and teach us, that is the ultimate purpose of what the person is created for in the arena of chachma, in the arena of wisdom, yediyah, in order to be able to grasp godly knowledge. The second thing of what a person is created for is maisa, shleimus of maisa. Maisa means actions. Actions are divided into two parts. There's the part that we don't do, the sur mira, and there's the asei tov, the part that we do do. So the ultimate in a person's creation is to reach the ultimate level in chachma, in understanding godliness, and maisa, that a person's actions should be in tune with the way Hashem wants him to behave, not doing the things that he's not supposed to do, and focusing on doing the things that he is supposed to do. The Rambam explains this at great length, and the Rambam concludes and he says, based on this, we understand what it means when we say that Hashem only has four cubits of halacha. In other words, this understanding that a person's ultimate creation is four chachma and maisa explains to us why Hashem only has four cubits of halacha. And on this explanation of the Rambam, the Rebbe has two questions. Two simple questions. Number one, this seems to explain to us the connection between maisa and halacha. But we still don't understand where chachma comes into the picture. You tell me that Hashem only has in this world four cubits of halacha. That explains to us the value of maisa, that a person should behave in a proper way. But where does chachma come in over here? Why does the word chachma, how does the word chachma relate to the concept of halacha in this case? Now, even if there's a way to connect these two things, halacha and chachma, the question still remains, why would the Gemara describe chachma with the word halacha? In other words, even if we can explain why the word halacha is a reference to studying, it still remains, why couldn't the Gemara just say that Hashem only has halacha and chachma? Why does it have to say halacha? And halacha is an allusion to chachma. Usually halacha means actions. Halacha means the ruling of what you're supposed to do. But in this case, chachma means knowledge of Hashem. So even if we can explain that the word halacha refers to chachma, why is it that the Torah would choose that the word halacha over here, why would the Gemara choose to use the word halacha to refer to this chachma, to this wisdom of Hashem? That would be the question. Now, if we pay attention to the context of what the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is trying to say that the four cubits of halacha is a replacement for something. What is it a replacement for? For the Beis HaMikdash. Because again, the lashon, the words of the Gemara were, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem only has in this world four cubits of halacha. Which means that the four cubits of halacha are here as a replacement for the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash serves as a purpose. Once the Beis HaMikdash is no more, now the halacha comes as a replacement. Now, what do the Jews have? What do they have in the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash had two things. On the one hand, the Beis HaMikdash had the Beis Din HaGadol, the High Court, which is the epitome of halacha, the epitome of action. At the same time, the High Court, the Beis HaMikdash also had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which had the Aron, which is the holiest place, the place of revealed godliness, which is Chachma. So because Da'avad Amish HaLacha is coming to replace these two things in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore the word halacha in this case must include both things. It must include Maiseh, which is a replacement for the Beis Din HaGadol, action, and it's also a replacement for Chachma, which is the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Holy of Holies, where the Aron was, where there was godly revelation. Now, this only would explain to us how we know that in this case the word halacha must be a reference to both. But we still don't understand why we use the word halacha to describe it. We still don't understand why we use the word halacha to describe this idea of chachma and maisa should be alluded to in the word halacha. This we still need to understand. So in order to answer these questions, the Rebbe is going to go and introduce to us a beautiful, beautiful explanation in the concept of Dalet Amos, four cubits. Okay, This expression of 4 cubits, we say that a person, the Gemara says, that a person takes up 4 cubits. If you want to know how much space does a person take up, 4 cubits. We see this in many different halachas. We see this in the halacha of finding something. When somebody comes within 4 cubits of something in a public space, so we say that it's as if the person got it. Why? Because the person takes up 4 cubits, and the person extends to the 4 cubits where he is, and therefore whatever is within 4 cubits of where a person is becomes his. This is important for the halachas of a get. If a husband throws a get to his wife, and it comes within 4 cubits of his wife, so we say that it's as if she received the get, because the person takes up the space of 4 cubits. We see it also is related to the laws of Shabbos. When it comes to the laws of Shabbos of carrying in a public sphere, in a public domain, the prohibition is to carry outside of 4 cubits, because within 4 cubits it's still considered my domain. So we see that the idea is that a person takes up 4 cubits. Okay? Now obviously in this case we're using the expression of 4 cubits by Hashem. But the idea is that the expression of 4 cubits is called Mekoymeh Shel Adam, the space that a person takes on, the space that a person occupies. What's the math of 4 cubits? What's the math of 4 amos? So the Gemara explains that a person's body takes up 3 amos. Okay, a person's body is 3 amos. And then, in addition to the 3 amos of the person's body, there's also the hands that sometimes rise above a person's head. So even if a person's, the length of a person's body is 4 amos, when a person raises his hand above his hand extends another dimension beyond his head. So the body of a person takes up 3 amos, the person's hands extend above his head to reach a 4th amma, and that's the math of a person occupying 4 amos, because of 4 amos, that is the space that a person takes up. The obvious question is, who cares where a person's hand goes? If a person's size is 4 amos, who cares where a person's hand is able to go? Just because my hand is able to go somewhere is not a reason for the person's body to be considered taking up 4 cubits. The body takes up 3 cubits. I could extend my hand, who cares? I could also go to China. Why does the fact that I could move my hand somewhere, why does that add a 4th amma to the space that a person occupies? My body occupies 3 ammas. So the answer is that the 4th amma, the amma that the hand is able to extend beyond the head, is fundamental. In other words, it's not just a random thing that I could put my hand somewhere. It's fundamental to understanding the concept when we say that a person occupies space. What's the meaning behind it? So the meaning behind it is that it's important to understand when we say the word 3 amos, it's not just 3 amos being a measurement, okay, 3 amos is 3 cubits. 3 amos really means that there's 3 dimensions to the person. And the Torah is alluding over here, the expression 4 amos, the 4th amma is not only a matter of space, there's a 4th dimension that the Torah is alluding to. What are these 3 dimensions and the 4th dimension? So the answer is, the Rebbe explains over here that a person really is made up of 3 general dimensions, 3 general parts to a person. The first part is the head. The head of a person represents the seichel of a person. That's a person's mind, that's a person's intellect, that's the part that a person uses to learn. That's one part. The head, the roish. The second part of a person is a person's body, a person's torso. That includes everything. The third part that a person has, that includes the second part, the torso, includes the midos. The third part, the lowest part of the person's body, is the regel. That's a person's foot. And the person is made up of these 3 parts. Obviously, the head has more energy, more life, the heart a little less, until a person comes to his feet, which is the lowest part of a person's body. The question is, this is the way Hashem created a person by nature. A person is made up of these 3 parts. But then, there's a 4th dimension. And the 4th dimension is the hands. And the Torah tells us that the quality of the 4th dimension, the quality of the hands, is specifically when the hands extend beyond the head. What's the meaning behind it? The Torah tells us that when Hashem created the world, the Torah says that Hashem created the world in such a way that everything was created in its fullest sense. In other words, Hashem created everything during the 6 days of creation, and that's it, creation was over. Everything that's necessary in the world was already created. The words that the Gemara uses, Olam al miluy nivra, which means that the world was created with everything that it needs, in the fullest sense, it's got everything. The world was created, and it has everything there. But at the same time, we say every Friday night in Kiddush, that Hashem created the world, la'asos, to do. What's the meaning of to do? Hashem already created the world in 6 days. Everything's created. What's the la'asos? La'asos is the contribution of man. That's where Hashem comes and created everything in one way. And a person's job is to come into those dimensions that Hashem created and take it to the next level. In the words of the Gemara, la'asos l'saken, which means to fix. Hashem created the world 100%. The person's job is to take it a step higher. What's the step higher that a person is able to do? A step higher that a person is able to do means that a person is able to go beyond the constraints of seichel, beyond the constraints of wholesomeness that Hashem put into the world. A person has the ability to go a level up. In other words, a person has the ability to rise up above and beyond the nature that Hashem created him with, and to be able to take it to a fourth dimension, beyond the reg of the foot, beyond the body, the torso, beyond the roish, the head, the intellect, beyond all those three things, the Torah gives us the ability to go one step higher. In other words, to take it a step higher and to go even beyond the seichel. What exactly is the fourth dimension over here? So the fourth dimension over here actually represents the hands in a very physical way, which means the ability to do action, to do mitzvahs, the mitzvah that a person has the ability to do. But at the same time, the mitzvah is not only that I'm able to do something more, the mitzvah is a fourth dimension, because what it does is it rises above the head, it brings a certain wholesomeness, it brings an added advantage to everything that the person has before he did the mitzvah. And over here the Rebbe quotes the famous expression from the Gemara, where the Gemara says that when a person does tzedakah, so it says that his mind and his heart become refined 1,000-fold. What does that mean? That a person's mind has the ability to understand certain things. A person's heart has the sensitivity to be able to sense certain things. But when a person goes the next level and he does tzedakah, he does actions, even if he doesn't understand it, he goes beyond his nature, and he pushes himself to do even more things that might be difficult for him. So then what the person does is he's able to rise above the natural talents, the natural character of who he is, and the natural character of who he is goes to the next level, where now his seichel becomes refined. He's able to understand things he wasn't able to understand before. His heart is more refined, he's able to feel things that he wasn't able to feel before. So this is the idea that the person's hands, the action that a person does, are able to raise a person up beyond the level that the person was at before, the fourth dimension. So that's how we use this expression, the fourth dimension, to describe that the person is really going beyond who he was until then. Where's the fourth dimension? When we look at it physically, the fourth dimension physically is denoted by going above the head. Because the head is the most complete, highest part of the person. And in this case, the person is going above, beyond the head, higher than his roish, higher than his head, because in this case, the person is doing something more than what he understands, but at the same time, also, it has an effect on everything that he's doing. In other words, the hands, the action, have the effect on having, they have the effect on the entire body, that the entire body, even the head, go up another level when the person goes and does the action of the mitzvahs, when he brings his hands above his head. Now, this idea is true in the character of a person, but it's also true when it comes to learning Torah. When it comes to learning Torah, there's the three dimensions of Torah, and then there's the fourth dimension of the Torah. What are these two dimensions of Torah? The three dimensions of the Torah is generally, the Torah is divided into three parts. We say that the Torah is made up of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Torah is the five books of the Chumash. Nevi'im is the prophets, and the Ksuvim is the scriptures. So the entire Torah is made up, is divided into three parts. Similar to the person's body, which is divided into three parts. Now, when a person engages in, now when a person learns Torah generally, so we learn Torah, these are the three levels of Torah, and a person learns. When a person goes to the fourth level, the fourth dimension, which is the work of tshuva, tshuva raises a person up beyond the regular Torah as we know it, because tshuva has the ability to fill gaps that the Torah itself doesn't have. This opens up the person to the fourth dimension of Torah. And the fourth dimension of Torah is not only understanding what the Torah says, it means to understand the secrets of the Torah. Similar to the Torah itself having it at four levels, this Pshat, Remez, and Drush, which are the three basic levels of learning Torah. The fourth level is Soid. Soid is the deeper secrets of the Torah. So beyond the simple understanding of the Torah, beyond the simple basic levels of Torah study, the fourth level is Soid. So when a person engages in the Avodah of Tshuva, it opens the person up to realizing that there's something more to Torah. The fourth level of Torah is, the fourth dimension is, connecting to Hashem. Which is really what the Rambam referred to earlier as Chachma. Chachma that the Rambam referred to earlier, that we quoted Chachma and Maisa. Chachma means not just learning Torah, basic understanding the Torah. It means the higher dimension of Torah. It means the level of Torah where the person is able to understand Achdus Hashem, the unity of Hashem, to connect to Hashem on that deeper level. So when we speak about Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, we speak about the four cubits of Halacha. The four cubits of Halacha are an indication that the person who's studying Torah is learning Torah not just on a level where he opens up the Chumash, he learns the Torah on a basic level. We're talking about somebody who's able to reach the higher level of Torah study, where he's even able to have the Torah study level of Soid, the Chassidus, the Soid, the secrets of the Torah, connection to Hashem and the Torah we also have. How do we get there? The answer is all of this is alluded to in Halacha. Why? Because halacha, the action of doing the Torah, the action of doing the mitzvahs that a person does, the halacha of what a person does, this is what allows a person, on the one hand, it's what allows a person to be able to understand and grasp the secrets of Chassidus, and at the same time, it's also the part of the Torah where the Chassidus needs to have an extension into. Let me explain what that means. In other words, when we speak about the secrets of the Torah, the secrets of the Torah are so beyond this world that it has to have an extension even into Maisa. In other words, that the Torah has to extend even into the world of Maisa, it has to extend to the furthest reaches of the person. So the fourth dimension of learning has to be something that affects the entire person, even the Maisa of the person, even the action of the person. And that's why when the Gemara puts it together, it says the four dimensions of Halacha, the four dimensions mean on the one hand the Chachma, but at the same time also the Maisa. The Gemara says, this level of halacha, of chachma and maisa, what is it a replacement for? It's a replacement for the Beis HaMikdash. Again, because the expression was, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem has only Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. So in other words, this is something which comes in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we see this in the Beis HaMikdash? In the Beis HaMikdash also we have four dimensions. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is divided, generally the building of the Beis HaMikdash is divided, generally speaking, into three separate places. On the one hand, we have the courtyard, the chatzer. Then we have the actual building, the heichal, which is the kodesh, which is the oil moyed in the mishkan. And then we have, in the kodesh, we have the kodesh hakadoshim, the holiest place. In the kodesh hakadoshim itself is the place where the shechina rested. Within the kodesh hakadoshim itself, we have a fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the part that's completely beyond this world, which is the place of the arayin. As the chazal tell us, that the space of the arayin was space beyond space. It took up space in the Mishkan, but at the same time, if you measure the space, you ended up getting space more than what the Aron is. In other words, if you measure the space of the Aron itself gave you space. But then, if you measure it from either wall of the Aron to the walls, you got the full space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means that the Aron itself takes up space, but it also doesn't take up space. So, what's the fourth dimension in the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem's resting place, which is on the Arayin. And the Arayin also, we see this advantage, not only of Chachma, not only of a place where Hashem's unity is felt in the most real sense, in the fullest sense, but there's also Maisa. That's why, who built the Arayin? People. At the end of the day, who had to build the Arayin? People. It wasn't something that came from Hashem. Not only that, even the Arayin, the holiest place, the Kohen Gadol had to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year and do service between the two rods, between the Badei HaArayin. So we see that the Arayin, even though it was the most abstract, holy place, completely removed beyond the nature of creation, at the same time, it's still linked with Maisa, it's still linked with action, both in its creation and in its service. Again, highlighting the link over here in the fourth dimension between Maisa and Chachma. Maisa is the action of the person in creating and service, and at the same time, the Chachma, also the wisdom, the revelation of Hashem's unity, which is revealed right then and there. Now, if we think for a moment about when the wholesomeness, the completeness of when this is going to be revealed, when are we going to have this shleimus of Chachma and of Maisa? Obviously, when Mashiach comes, that's when we're going to have the wholesomeness, the completeness of both of these things. On the one hand, that's the time when Mashiach is going to teach us Torah, all the secrets of the Torah, and every person is going to know L'da'as Hashem Bovad. The entire pursuit of the world is going to be to know Hashem. And as the Rambam tells us, that when Mashiach comes, that's when we're going to be able to fulfill the Torah in its fullest sense. So in other words, the shleimus of Chachma and the shleimus of Maisa are only when Mashiach comes. But at the same time, Matan Torah was only once. In other words, when the Torah was given, it was only once. So everything that the Torah is going to be revealed, all the dimensions of the Torah that need to be revealed, are somewhat alluded to when the Torah was given the first time in our parasha. So therefore, this advantage of Chachma and of Maisa, although it's being revealed somewhat in the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately when Mashiach comes, nevertheless, the ability for it begins when the Torah was given. And that's how we find that when the Torah was given, on the one hand, the Jewish people at Har Sinai, they were able to witness Hashem In other words, they were able to witness the same thing that a person would see if they were able to go into the Kedesh HaKadoshim and see the Arayin. The Jewish people saw and witnessed Hashem in the most revealed sense. And at the same time, there's also an element of Maisa. The Maisa is, first of all, Hashem did an action to come down into this world. And second of all, it resulted in Hashem giving us 613 mitzvahs. So at the giving of the Torah already, at that moment, we find this link between Chachma and Maisa, these two things coming together. Chachma, Hashem revealing Himself and allowing us to see and perceive Hashem with our own eyes in this world. And at the same time, we also have the advantage of Maisa. Again, the mitzvahs that a person was commanded to do at that time, and also the action that Hashem took in order to come down into this world. So this all serves as an explanation so far into the Rambam. That when the Rambam describes the four cubits that Hashem has in this world, the four cubits is not only action, the four cubits is the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension means the wholesomeness of Maisa, which is linked intricately to the wholesomeness of Chachma. And based on the Rambam's explanation that Chachma in this case refers to the secrets of the Torah, we understand that the expression that we're going to use to describe it is the four cubits of Halacha, because we're talking about the fourth dimension, the added dimension, the godliness beyond this world that at the same time permeates this world in the actions that we do. This all is going to be an explanation, if we go back to the Pasuk and we remember the questions that we had at the beginning of the Sicha, this is going to be an explanation to the questions that we had earlier. Why? Because the Zohar says that Yisroi, who came in the beginning of today's parasha, the Zohar says that Yisroi's coming was the introduction to Matan Torah. That was the preparation, the Achana to Matan Torah, was Yisroi coming and joining the Jews in the desert. That's why the Torah refers to Yisroi over here with his name Yisroi. He didn't, even though he didn't convert yet, and we still refer to him as Yisroi. And we refer to the whole parasha by the name Yisroi because of Yisroi. Why? Because the name Yisroi represents... The name Yisroi represents the purpose and the ultimate of what Matan Torah is all about. Why? Because the name Yisroi really has it in two parts. One part of the name Yisroi is Yeser. Yeser means to add something. And Rashi tells us that the reason why Yisroi was named Yeser is because in Yisroi's merit, there was an extra parsha added in the Torah, because we learn soon, in the next two aliyahs, the Torah tells us that Yisroi came and he saw Moshe standing a whole day, and Yisroi suggested that Moshe should go appoint other judges. So the fact that other judges were appointed, that whole discussion came on Yisroi's merit. So Yeser, the first part of the name Yisroi, the first three letters Yeser represent Yisroi adding in the Torah. They represent Yisroi contributing to Torah study, which is Chachma. The Vav of Yisroi, that's the name that Yisroi got, the extra letter when he converted. What did Yisroi gain when he converted? Obligation and mitzvahs. So the name Yisroi itself represents both of these things, both of these wholesomenesses, wholesomeness in Chachma, which is the parasha and Torah that Yisroi added, the Torah, it's Chachma. And then it also has the letter Vav, the added dimension that Yisroi gained when he converted to doing Torah mitzvah, the mitzvahs, that's the shleimus of Maisa. So Yisroi himself also represents these two things. Now, the interesting thing is that if we look in the Torah, the way the Torah describes Yisroi, so the Torah describes Yisroi Koyen Midian, the prince of Midian, right? Now, when we say the prince of Midian means, well, there's two explanations to the prince of Midian, but one of the explanations of prince of Midian means that he was a priest for the idol worship that they were doing. Idol worship. Well, we hear that this is where the Torah wants to tell us who Yisroi is, as an idol worshiper. Why would the Torah add these two words in the description of Yisroi over here? So the answer is, this is exactly the reason why. The reason is because if you want to know who Yisroi is, so Yisroi was somebody who his Chachma and his Maisa were complete even before he showed up in the desert. Not for Hashem. Different Chachma and different Maisa. Why? Because the word Koyein, which is used in this context to describe Yisroi, could mean one of two things. Either Koyein could mean the priest for an idol worshiper, for idol worship. And a priest for an idol worship is somebody who has knowledge of all the idols in the world, as Rashi tells us about Yisroi. So one interpretation of the word Koyein describes Yisroi's knowledge, Chachma, Yisroi's great knowledge. The other interpretation of the word Koyin means a minister. What's a minister's job? A minister's job is to execute the desire of the king. So one interpretation of Koyin is Yisroi's actions, Yisroi's Maisa, and doing the things that the king needs done, running the country. One interpretation of Koyin highlights Yisroi's knowledge. But both of these elements, the Chachma of Yisroi and the Maisa of Yisroi, are not related to Torah, not related to Hashem. Nevertheless, Yisroi came over here and Yisroi realized that with all of his Chachma, knowing all the Avodah Zarah, knowing all there is to know about Avodah Zarah, with all of Yisrael's ma'isa and knowing how to run a country and actually running a country. On top of all of that, what happens? On top of all of that, Yisrael realizes that he needs more. Yisrael realizes that he has to have more than what he has until now. In other words, that as Chachma and as Ma'isa, both have yet to reach the level of wholesomeness that we're speaking about. So what did Yisrael do as a result? That's what Yisrael had to come and realize, and he said, Mashmua Shama Uba. So Yisrael says, now I have to come, because I have something missing, because I need to do more, because I realize that my Chachma and my Ma'isa need an upgrade. The upgrade of Yisrael is by coming to the Jews in the desert, which is not just a matter of him coming. It's not just a matter of converting. He could have converted wherever he lived also. The fourth dimension is the dimension that takes a person beyond his character and beyond his own nature. And this is highlighted by Yisrael coming to the desert, not just Yisrael hearing everything that happened. Yisrael hearing everything that happened, okay, he could have heard all the stories, and it inspired him. That's not a reason to come. Yisrael could have stayed in Midian. The question that Rashi has, and the question that the Medrash says, Ma Shmua Shama Uba. What did Yisrael hear that made him come? What made Yisrael realize that I need to do more than what I was doing until now? What makes Yisrael go out of his nature of sitting in the city and running the government? Come and join the Jews in the desert, which doesn't make sense. Yisrael is coming and he's doing something over here that's causing him to leave his comfort, to leave his nature, to leave the place where he's supposed to be. He's leaving behind whatever he had up until this point. And now Yisrael is coming to the desert. So here Rashi comes and says, you want to know what Yisrael heard coming into the desert? Yisrael heard two things, right? You remember the question we had earlier was that the Medrash gives three different answers. Rashi takes two of the three answers. One answer is Amalek, and one answer is Kriyas Yamsuf. So now we understand that when Rashi gives us the answer, Rashi says one answer is Amalek, and one answer is Kriyas Yamsuf. The two things that Yisrael heard. Why two things? Because Yisrael needs an upgrade on two fronts. His Maisa and his Chachma. His action and his knowledge. His knowledge needs an upgrade that relates to Amalek. His Chachma needs an upgrade that relates to Amalek. His action needs an upgrade that relates to Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Because the Gemara says that it says that Amalek came and attacked. Why did Amalek come and attack? So the Gemara says the reason why Amalek came and attacked was because the Jews, they doubted whether Hashem is with them. They said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayin, is Hashem with us or not? So in other words, because the Jewish people doubted in their faith, in their knowledge of Hashem, in their certainty that Hashem is with them, that's where Amalek came and attacked. So the battle with Amalek means this resolving this question of whether Hashem is with them or not. How did the victory come to Amalek? When the Jewish people raised their eyes to heaven, and as the Pasuk describes, the Moshe standing on the rock, and he would lift his hands up, and when the Jewish people would look up, it was a reminder that Hashem runs the world, and the victory comes from Hashem. So the battle and the victory with Amalek is an upgrade in Chachma, knowledge that Hashem runs the world, not the Avodah Zarah, as Yisrael thought up until that point. Kriyas Yamsuf, on the other hand, is a matter of action. The Torah tells us, how did the Yamsuf split? The Yamsuf split when the Jewish people started to walk. In other words, they started walking, they listened to Moshe, Vayiso, when they started to walk, and as a result of them walking, the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf began. So Kriyas Yamsuf was a commitment in Ma'isa and action to do something that you have to do, whether it makes sense to you or not. So that upgrade in Ma'isa, Yisrael realized, says that my Chachma and my Ma'isa is good. He says, but I'm still missing something. Where do I see that I'm missing something? Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. My Amalek tells me my Chachma needs an upgrade. Yamsuf tells me that my Ma'isa needs an upgrade. And therefore Yisrael comes, and Yisrael has to push himself on both of these fronts. Each one of these things inspired to come and join the Jews in the desert. Now he gets the name Yeser because he adds a part in the Torah, Chachma. Yisrael gets the name Yisrael, which is the extra vav, because he converts to mitzvahs. Now, once we have Yisrael upgrading on these two fronts, now we're ready for the Torah being given. At the Torah being given, also we have an upgrade on these two fronts. On the one hand, we have the upgrade in Chachma that Hashem reveals himself to the Jews. We have an upgrade in Maisa that Hashem commands the Jews to do the mitzvahs. And ultimately, this results in the elimination of the gzera of Tachtoinim Yadu L'mayla and Alyoinim Yerdu L'mata. As the Rebbe always would quote, that the Medrash says that before the Torah was given, there was the big divide between heaven and earth. And by Matan Torah, that's when Hashem said, this divide is over. Heaven can come to earth, and earth can go up to heaven. So by us realizing this upgrade that's necessary in Chachma and in Maisa, and doing things for Hashem, whether we understand it or not, the ability to understand the secrets of the Torah and the secrets of Chassidus, in other words, for a person to be able to have an insight into godliness, so the actions of Yisroel, they served as the introduction for getting rid of that bridge between man and God, between Elyonim and Tachtonim, between the higher world and the lower world, which is what happened at Matan Torah.